Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, while there's a general encouragement for us to all move to electric cars, for some, especially those who really love their cars, that can be a painful transformation. And for those people, a company in London is developing the techniques that can combine the best of both. London Electric Cars takes old classic cars and converts them to electric. Founder Matthew Quitter joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Matthew.
Hello.
Now, at the moment, as I understand it, it's mostly classic cars you're working on. Would that be the case?
Yes, absolutely. Predominantly cars from the sort of 60s and 70s and a couple from, say, the early 80s. We do have a couple of cars in from, say, the early 2000s. But the reason you see predominantly classic cars is because they're more simple to convert. There's less, power steering, ABS, power brakes, stuff like that to worry about.
And when you replace all that with an electric battery, is all that stuff new, or have you reclaimed that from elsewhere as well?
We predominantly use salvage components from, say, a Nissan Leaf that's been in a slight accident, sometimes Tesla parts. On the whole, if components have been in an accident, they're about 25% more affordable than if they were brand new. And in most cases, the cars are built in such a way that only the most severe accidents actually affect the electric car parts.
So I would assume then that each particular car, does that present different challenges in terms of making the conversion?
Absolutely. So the biggest obstacle for us is really converting the first of any particular model, because we have to then figure out, where do the batteries go? How do we connect to the gearbox or to the driveline? And so what we're really trying to do is find repetition. So we're trying to, say, line up a whole bunch of Land Rovers to convert, because once we've done the first one, we've got it all in the computer. We've figured it all out roughly. And then the hope is that on the second, third and fourth one, by the fact that we've done it already, we can remove a lot of the labor costs, and that will bring the price down. Because at the moment, the biggest obstacle to conversion is really the cost. It's not really affordable yet.
And does it affect the cars in terms of their weight, or do you have to make kind of adjustments and maybe even compromises to accommodate batteries and the like?
It really depends on the customer, to a degree on the car itself as well. It's really more to do with what the customer's looking for. So if the majority of the weight comes from the batteries, once we pull out the motor, the combustion engine motor, and they can range anything from 100 to sort of 400 kilograms, and maybe including the gearbox, then that gives you a lot of weight to replace. We can then have a conversation with the customer and say, look, on the whole, we try not to overweight the car too much. It's not particularly, desirable to change the suspension and have to look at reinforcing things. And certainly, we're very careful to avoid ever having to go through an independent vehicle approval, because that just adds a whole other degree of complexity. Mm-hmm. So trying to stay within the weight, within the existing weight parameters of the car is quite an important thing. And if we do add extra weight, it will be in the region of 80 to 100 kilograms, so roughly the equivalent of having an extra passenger. Anything beyond that becomes a bit onerous in terms of what you're having to do to the car to make it a conversion.
And does the engine, the electric engine, always go in the same place as the fuel engine? Does it make more sense to stick it in the boot?
Well, it very much depends on the car and what the customer's looking for. Generally, as a rule of thumb, the less we do to the car during the course of the conversion, the less it costs the customer, because the less we're having to, less work we're having to do. And in that context, if you can take out the petrol engine and put the electric motor in exactly the same place, then it would stand to reason that you're doing less work. There are instances where actually it doesn't work out quite so well. For example, if there's an automatic gearbox, which is terribly inefficient for an electric motor and not really needed, or if the customer says, look, I don't want a gearbox anymore, I want to drive this very much like an automatic, and then in that context, removing the gearbox actually gives us a bit more weight to play with, You can then, you know, maybe install a big electric motor onto the rear prop shaft. And it really depends on the car. You know, some cars, there's plenty of room in the engine bay, so it'd be silly not to use that space. Other cars, there's plenty of space around the rear axle. And so you can mount something, you know, an electric motor very close to it. But it really varies customer to customer and car to car.
Mm. Can an electric motor be as powerful as a fuel motor? I assume you're getting in cars that have 6-litre engines and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So as a rule of thumb, if you match the horsepower of an electric motor to a petrol motor, the electric motor will invariably have a lot more torque than the petrol motor would have done. The most significant obstacle that we come across is the cost. And to replace a 6.5-litre petrol engine with an electric motor, the engine is probably putting out somewhere around 350, maybe more horsepower. So you're then saying, okay, what electric motor can I use to replace that? That's where the cost of things comes in. And that's, again, one of the reasons why we look at keeping gearboxes is because with a gearbox, we can actually use a slightly smaller electric motor, which keeps the cost down. If you want to get rid of the gearbox, or if you've got a really big motor to replace, say in a Bentley or a Rolls-Royce or a big sports car, you're paying a lot of money for that big electric motor. Mm-hmm. Not to say that, most of the conversions we do, the cars generally end up being quicker, just because it's so easy to get a more powerful electric motor. If we were to convert a Karmann Ghia or a VW Beetle using Nissan Leaf components, which are the most affordable components that we can really get on the market, you're talking about doubling the horsepower and tripling the torque. So they really shift.
Yeah. Can any car be converted, or have you come across cars where it's just not worth it or not possible?
It's really about the money. We regularly get asked to convert really modern cars. So, you know, I've been asked to convert a 2019 Bentley Continental GT. We get emails, I've just bought a Mercedes S-Class last year. Can you convert it to electric? And we're just like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. The simple answer is yes, any car can be converted to electric. However, with the more modern cars, humankind has gotten very good at combustion engines. And so modern cars have very powerful petrol motors, and they're not that expensive. And also modern cars have incredibly complex electrical systems these days. You have security systems, you have infotainment systems, you have ABS, airbags, all the stuff that we need to integrate with. And particularly if we're doing a sort of slick conversion where you want all the gauges and all the instruments on the fascia to remain functioning, then that's really where the sort of the complexity starts to increase, and that unfortunately then pushes the price up as well.
Yeah, though, and even though price is obviously still a factor, and what you're offering here is a very bespoke service.
Yeah.
Have you seen in the years that you've been in business that this could be done more and more affordably?
Absolutely, and that's what London Electric Cars is all about. I noticed that, again, from my sort of background, I used to be a musician and I was very broke the whole time. So I've always been very spendthrift and never been very good at keeping a large sum of money in my bank account. So someone said to me, look, we need 15, 30 grand, 50 grand to convert a car. I just don't have that money. So I went about seeing how could I convert one of my own little Morris Minor to electric. It proved to be very expensive, and so I said, okay, well, if I can find salvage components instead, it'll be much cheaper. And through that process, over a couple of years, I realized that, well, if I can do this to a classic car, then why can't I do it to a modern car as well? The simple answer is yes, we will get the price down. I think we're going to need help from the government, and I think it's something they should be looking into, because it saves an incredible number of cars from being scrapped, but also maintains a workforce around those cars. If we look at my classic one to mention is a early 2000s Volvo, where the suspension is still good, the seats are still good, the air conditioning still works. The only problem is that combustion engine. Then we need to find a way of avoiding that being sent to the scrap heap, because it's still, there's still plenty of really good materials and resources in there. And you then also look at the fact that half of a car's lifetime CO2 emissions are made during manufacture. And I think there's a really compelling reason for us to be considering EV conversions on all cars, wherever possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's really, yes, I think we need to get that price down. And then it's, how do you do that? And it's really looking at repetition, and making the investment in, say we take the Fiat 500 or the modern Mini, and saying, how do we get a conversion for this done that can be affordable to the average person? And that's really about just doing it the first time and then repeating it and getting the R&D costs out of the cost of the conversion.
Matthew Quitter is founder of London Electric Cars. Matthew, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A few comments on that. Yvonne said it would be great to see this become a widespread idea, so that instead of just people just scrapping their cars like they do with everything else these days, we could get them fixed up and electrified. When indeed, as he said, that's what the intention is. At the moment, though, it is prohibitively expensive and they need to kind of develop the technology around that. So, if it's your old Ford Focus or something, it wouldn't be worth it. You could buy a brand new one probably for what they charge you. Harry says there isn't enough being done to attract road users to electric cars. The range anxiety is a joke in this country. You can hardly leave the county in most electric cars, and there are minimal charge points. How are we supposed to want to switch over if we don't get the proper support to do it? Indeed. And not just that, they could do something about the cost of an electric car as well.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.